God, hey, before we get into the word, I just want to pray for a minute, eh? Is that all right? If we just pray, if you just want to join with me, close your eyes and just let's just tune in to the Holy Spirit, because there was a really cool time of worship. And even just what Hannah shared and what Brent has shared, it's like the Spirit of God is here. He's in this place, and you know, he doesn't actually need to be invited. God can turn up and do what he wants, but we want him here. And so when hearts are open, I feel like God is just drawn in there in a mighty way. And so, Father, we just welcome you here. Holy Spirit, come into this place. We acknowledge you. You are the Spirit of God, the power of God. You are the one that hovered over the surface of the deep. You are the one who is with us, abiding with us every day, every moment. Lord, no matter what we face, you are with us. And we acknowledge you tonight, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you here. We pray that you would have your way. God, take the words that are prepared and let the words of man fall to the ground and let your words go forward. Lord, may lives be impacted tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hey, just got a quick verse just as we're in worship. I just want to share this. Just really struck me as we're in that time of worship. Romans 8, verse 19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. How good is that verse? Like, it's just kind of dawned on me, the thought that actually the trees, the mountains are waiting for us to stand up. You know, that there's actually, God's creation isn't just this thing that exists, but it's waiting on the men and women of God to rise, to worship, to call on the name of Jesus. What a cool thing that is, eh? What an amazing thing. Be encouraged by that. Be strengthened by that. I've got a message tonight. The title of my message, I don't really do too many titles, but if you want a title, it's called Walking Into a Miracle. Now, I know I actually wasn't here at the church conference this year. I know. This is a safe place. I can confess things. Clearly not. But at the conference, I believe it was spoken over the church, 52 days of breakthrough. Is it right? And today it's like halfway. I think it's what you shared, this just over halfway this morning. And so I'm like, well, I feel like this is a breakthrough message. So I can't, yeah, and when we say breakthrough, it's not just about, okay, you know, give me the breakthrough. Breakthrough is about something that we're a part of. We're a part of the journey. You know, if we can take anything from what Brent and what Hannah has shared, they were a part of the breakthrough. They were a part of the journey. You know, God works with us. He doesn't just lay it all out ahead of us. He wants to journey with us into that breakthrough. And so I'm believing that tonight is going to be a real blessing to somebody. But before we get into the word, I just got a few things that I feel like we need to draw our attention to tonight before we go any further. So are we ready, Steph? We've got a couple of things that we want to show you. There it is. That's right. Come on, boys. Oh, and that. Come on, girls. Into the final. How crazy was that, eh? The penalty. I actually turned it off, didn't watch the penalty. I know, lack of faith. And then the boys, they're in. They're into the quarterfinals, heading on. I think, I mean, any time we give Australia a hiding is a great day to be celebrated. If you're Australian here, we will pray for you later for the setting free and stuff. But also as well, just, you know, there's a bit of sport there. And so for some of you, you're sitting there thinking, oh, sport, I'm not into sport. Well, Jesus is into sport, I believe. But anyway, for you who aren't, here's something for you. This is our new family member. This is Milo. She joined our family last week, and she's chewing on everything and just doing toilet all over the house. So that's our world, but Stephanie threatened to leave that up the whole entire message. But yeah, maybe not, Steph. It would be too distracting. You'd be looking at that and too distracted from what I'm going to say. Hey, this message, I just want to share a little bit about where this message came from. So that had nothing to do with my message at all. But a few weeks ago, we heard some really sad news about a friend of ours who passed away in Taranaki. He's my age, and he's got four young kids. The oldest is the same age as my oldest, and he tragically passed away. And it was really sad, incredibly sad, but we made the effort down to be at the funeral. And we got down there, and it was an amazing funeral. I think it was just under 800 people turned up to his funeral. Gives you an idea of the impact this guy had. Kind of one of those moments where you're like, I wish he had a scene, the funeral, and see how many people loved him. But it was incredibly moving, and it was sad, and it was tragic, and all those things, but there was also this amazing sense of God's presence in the place. And it was the sense of hope, the sense of God is still good, God is still on the throne, even though this family has got a huge journey ahead of them. And that's what really struck me, is that this unexpected circumstance hit this family. They didn't plan it. They didn't go looking for it. They were a Christian family. He was preaching in the local C3 down there in Taranaki. He was an amazing man of God. I've known him for a number of years and just an incredible young Christian man. And this tragedy happens. And it makes you think, why? And you just start to think, how could this happen? You know, God, we thought they were doing everything right. But this thing happened. And around the same time, I was actually reading in the Word of God. I was been reading through the book of John. And in the book of John, in chapter 4, there's an account of Jesus healing an official's son. And I want to read this passage to you before I go any further and try and paint the picture a little bit of where this message is going to go. It says in verse 46, we'll start from there, verse 45. When he arrived in Galilee, that's Jesus, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact moment at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. Now, the reason that passage jumped out to me with the funeral that happened and the sadness and the tragedy that was going on, it just reminded me that life is a journey. It's a walk. It's not a sprint. It's not something that just happens. It's a journey. And for every single one of us here, you're going to go through seasons and you're going to go through times. And there's some that are going to be awesome. Some are going to be celebratory times. Some are going to be really just blessed times. But there's also going to be times that are going to be really difficult. Now, I don't say that to be mean or to be harsh, but life happens. Stuff happens. And I was reminded sitting there in that funeral, looking at this young mum with these four kids, just being like, she's got a journey ahead of her. She didn't ask for this. And there she was. She actually got up at the funeral and shared. It's pretty amazing, actually. You're kind of like, far out. That's some faith in that girl. And I just looked at this young mum, and like, honestly, it wasn't a dry eye in the place. And you're just looking and just being like, she's got a journey ahead of her. She's got a journey that she's going to have to walk. And she didn't plan for it. She didn't ask for it. And she didn't know it was coming. And that is life. There are going to be moments of incredible difficulty that we're going to have to learn to walk through. I would love to be able to tell you that you become a Christian and your life is plain sailing. And everything falls into place and it's rainbows and butterflies. But it's not true. In fact, at times, I think when you become a Christian, you paint a target on your back and the enemy decides, okay, I'm coming after you. Because he knows who you know, and he doesn't want you to know who you know. And he wants to rob you of everything that Jesus wants to bring into your life. He paints that target on you, not because you are some bad person, but because he's threatened by you. Because you can do damage against his kingdom. But the thing is stuff's still going to happen. Challenges will come. Difficult times will come. These challenges, and I use this term to describe them, the challenging and unexpected circumstances of life. In this passage of scripture as I just read, there's a royal official whose son was sick and was dying. At some point, the family noticed that something wasn't right with this boy. Now, when you read through this passage, you know, in the space of about 3 or 4 verses, it just glosses over a massive story. This young boy didn't just fall sick that day. He had been on the verge of death for a long period of time. I like to think that when I read these passages, I like to imagine the scenario, what would it look like, or try to imagine in my mind what the story would have been. I can imagine one day they would have seen this young boy out playing and something was wrong. Something was not right with him. I can imagine they would have took him home and been like, oh, look, you'll be okay. Because that's what I say to my kids. You'll be fine. Just go to sleep. You'll be good. But he went to sleep, woke up the next day, and he wasn't good. Things were getting worse. In fact, it got to the point where they're like, okay, we've got to get doctors involved. We've got to go and find a way to get this boy healed. And they did that, but he still got worse. In fact, this man, his father was a royal official, so he was a man of position, a man of authority, a man of who could get stuff done. So I imagine he would have been able to pull more strings than the average person could, but everything he did, nothing changed the fact that his son was sick and dying. Now, we can look at that and think, okay, that's their story. That's what happened to them. But the truth is that stuff in our lives can go wrong. The family would have been in a difficult place. Emotions would have been high. There would have been anger. There would have been grief. There would have been shock. There would have been all kinds of things going on. And this is the part we don't like. This is the part we want to get out of as soon as we can. Any parents who've had a sick child, you just want them to get better. And you want to do everything you can to get them better. I can remember our boy being in hospital with high temperatures when he was a baby, and you just want to get them better and just get them fixed and do whatever it takes to get them healed. But this dad, this man, nothing he did could heal his son. And then he hears the story of a man named Jesus. And he hears that Jesus has been healing people. And I could imagine that when he heard the story, that he wasn't exactly in a place of hope. He wasn't exactly in a place of thinking, oh, things are, you know, oh, things will come right. Things will be okay. I could imagine he was in a place of hopelessness. He was probably feeling a little bit like, okay, I've exhausted everything that I can. And so he, in this moment of brokenness, hears about Jesus. And something inside of him stirs enough for him to get up from where he is and begin to move. And that thing is hope. Hope got him up. He heard that Jesus can heal, and hope gave him just enough energy to think, maybe he could heal my son. And as a desperate father who had exhausted everything else he could have, he got up and he began a journey from where he was to where Jesus was. Now, this journey is not just any odd journey. This is a huge journey that he took. In fact, they say it was about 20, 21 miles. And in fact, it was over mountainous terrain. So again, the Bible says in one verse, he came to where Jesus was. You know, and we're like, oh, he's just around the corner. No, he had to travel for a day to get to where Jesus was. So this was not just a moment of, yeah, well, Jesus is just outside. Let's go and have a talk with him. It was like, okay, I've got to pack up my stuff. I've got to travel. I've got to take money for the travel. I've got to find accommodation. I've got to make this journey. And so he got up and he begins this journey to get to where Jesus is. And I call this period, this season, I call it the walk of hope. Because that whole walk, he did not know what the outcome would be, but he was still walking. Sometimes your Christian walk is going to be like that. Hope is going to be the thing keeping you going. Because you don't know how it's going to change. You don't know how things are going to turn around. I mean, any person here, any Christian who's been Christian for any length of time or who journeyed through difficult things will know that there will come times where you'll feel like, oh my goodness, how are things going to change? How am I going to get through this? And you're praying and you're reading your Bible and you're trying to find those verses that tell you exactly what to do, but sometimes you just got to get up and you got to walk. You got to get out of bed and you got to go to work. You got to get up, you got to feed your kids, and you keep going, and hope keeps you going. Now, I don't want to belittle that season, because that's a valuable season in your walk with Jesus, because he sees that season. In fact, he's with you in that season. The difficult part is it doesn't feel like he is, but he is. It's not until you're through it that you can see him. It's not until you look back that you actually realize he was walking beside you the whole time. But at the time, it feels like, oh, man, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if what I'm going to do is going to change anything, but I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep moving. The thing I love about this man is that if he'd have stayed in Capernaum, his story would not be in the Word of God. But he started walking, and so his story's in the Bible. So that tells me you don't need to be some super faith-filled, you know, amazing Christian. You just got to get up and move. You just got to take some steps. You just got to get out and just get some momentum. The thing I've discovered about God is he lands on you when you're moving. So as you begin to move, and it may be just a small step, it may just be a small movement, but as you begin to move, God begins to move with you. So that's the walk of hope. this journey that would have, this journey, and this, here's another thing about this journey. This would have cost the royal official. He had to take time off to take this trip. He would have had to pay money for his accommodation, for his food, all these things. There was a cost to this trip. Again, we read half a verse in this Bible and it says, he came to where Jesus was. But hey, hang on a second. This cost him to get to where Jesus was. We love to think that Jesus is just like this vending machine that we can come to, but sometimes you've actually got to, it's going to cost you something. There's a price that you've got to pay. And I don't say that to make it as to make you feel, you know, oh no, that's what's the price going to be? God's going to try and take everything from me. No, but God actually wants to know that your heart is all in. And so sometimes he has to get the other stuff out of the way, and that's where paying the price comes in. Paying that cost. He'd obviously heard about Jesus. He'd heard what Jesus had done, but I love this, but he still had to decide to make the journey. Some of us here tonight, you still got to make that decision. What I mean by that is some of you are in this place and you've been walking the walk, and I want to say keep walking. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't give up. You know, I remember a preacher sharing this when I was a young Christian. He said, I wonder how many miracles never came into fruition because we stopped at the 11th hour. We were just 10 steps away or whatever it is. I reckon we keep moving until God says stop. We keep going until something changes. And that is hope that keeps us going. That is hope that we need. And hope is such a powerful, powerful thing. So this man comes to this crossroads in his life where everything he did didn't work. And so he has a choice. Do I have hope in this guy Jesus, or do I just stay in hopelessness? A conscious decision he had to make. And he made a choice. Okay, I'm going to go hope. And he walked to Jesus. Hope is no small thing. It's defined as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. That's a great, you know, definition from a dictionary, but it doesn't really capture what hope is. Hope can be that thing that just, that's, it's like a fire in your spirit. And no matter what you do, you just can't shake it. And you can't explain it. And you can't reason with it sometimes, but it's just there. Hope is strong. Hope is powerful. Hope can do mighty, mighty things. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The key word, those who hope in the Lord. Hope is a powerful thing. It was hope that got this man from Cana, that got this man from Capernaum to Cana in Galilee. Hope got him out of his position of pain and discomfort and agony and anger and frustration. It was hope that got him moving. The royal official makes the journey. He's walking in hope, gets there, comes to where Jesus is, and I don't know how that whole exchange happened. I don't know if he pushed through the crowd. I don't know what it was, whether he waited patiently at the back. We don't know. But at some point, he came before Jesus, and he said to Jesus, come with me and heal my son. I can imagine, again, the Bible gives it this lovely little verse, but I can imagine there was a lot of anguish and desperation in that statement. My son's dying. I need you to come, Jesus. And then Jesus' response, this is one of the most interesting responses. He says, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. Now, when I read that, I'm like, was Jesus insulting him? Was Jesus actually, you know, kind of pointing out like, oh, you guys just want another miracle? Or was he actually making a statement? Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. I don't know. I'm not a theologian, so theologians, you guys look into that. But the thing is, Jesus makes a statement, but the royal official, he doesn't just leave it at that. He's like, as soon as Jesus has said it, he said, Jesus, please come. Please heal my son. He pushes through this. The royal official humbled himself, asking for Jesus to come and heal his son. Jewish society exalted religious leaders. We kind of can't fathom it in our society, but they were the top of the top. They were like, if you're a religious leader, mate, you're doing really well. You've clearly got things sorted out. He was a royal official. He worked in the throne room of Herod. He worked for the King Herod at the time. He was in a position of power, a position of authority. He was like basically kind of above the people. Yet the royal official put aside all of this for the sake of his son. He begged for Jesus to come. In James 4 verse 10, it tells us, if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up. You know, there was that first journey that this man had to make, the walk of hope. And that's a really important journey, and it's a journey that we can't often avoid. But there's a second journey that this man had to make. And I call this the walk of faith. The royal official, it says, when Jesus said to him and says, go, your son will live, it says the royal official turned and left, taking Jesus at his word. He came to Jesus with a need, and he left Jesus not knowing if his need was met. But he took him at his word. So he had to walk that whole journey back to his home, not knowing if anything had changed. I don't know about you, but that would not be an easy journey. Again, we read it and we see one verse that says he returned home. But actually, that would have been probably the most difficult journey, because that would be the journey where his faith would have been tested. He's walking, he's moving back home. He doesn't know what the outcome is. He doesn't know what has happened to his son. He has no idea. There's no cell phone he can pick up. There's no ability to find out. He does not. He has to make the whole one-day journey to get back home. He had to walk that whole, I can imagine every step of the way, there would have been moments of like, what have I just done? Man, I should have persisted more. Is he actually here? Maybe I should have got Jesus. Did I do enough? Did I do enough to get Jesus to my, I can imagine this would have been a walk of challenge. Again, we read it and we get one verse. But if this man's anything like what I think most people are like and what I feel like at times, I would have been wrestling. I would have been feeling like, oh God, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. I would have been wrestling with this whole idea, will my son actually be healed? One of the hardest things for a Christian, a believer in Jesus, is to take Jesus at his word and believe it will happen. If anyone thinks that's easy, can you help us figure out how that is? It's one of the hardest things. We become a Christian. Jesus comes into our lives. It's an amazing exchange. Salvation comes in. We're forgiven of our sins. It's an incredible moment. But then we start this journey and things happen. But then Jesus has this Bible full of promises and all these incredible prophecies and all this amazing stuff for our lives. And so as we start to walk, we have to take this word and believe it. And so this man had, during that walk, had to believe what Jesus said would happen. I don't know about you, but I've been through many, many seasons where I've wrestled with that. I can read the Bible, and I can read the stories, and I can hear what Jesus is saying, and I can memorize them, but it's another thing to walk into it. It's another thing to get the miracle going in my heart and get it anchored into my spirit and actually know that what Jesus has said is going to come about. It is really challenging, being really honest. It would be great if when you become a Christian, you just get this like chunk of faith and you never have to worry about that again. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? It would be fantastic. We should ask God about that when we get to heaven. No. Now, we know why, because God actually is interested in our faith, because faith is what draws his presence. He's attracted to our faith. He is drawn to our faith. And I know that I need to constantly remind myself of what Jesus says he will do. To the point of like going back to John 3:16 and speaking it out over my life. To get verses and scriptures and grabbing scriptures for different seasons. I know recently, just with the business, as Alan shared, we purchased a business 2.5 years ago. And, you know, it'd be great to say we've just had it easy, but we haven't. It's been challenging. There have been moments of real difficulty. And in that time, it's all good to know the verses, but it's another thing to hold on to them. And I tell you what, the amount of times I was just speaking scripture over my circumstances and just been like, God, you got to come through here. God, you got to come through here. And then he does. And he does. And the next one comes along, I'm like, God, you got to come through here. And he does. And I'm like realizing I'm becoming a bit of a slow learner. And I've got to actually learn that actually he keeps coming through. So let's just believe that he will. So I'm kind of in that zone where I feel like God's kind of, you know, like a stern father, kind of like, okay, now let's sort this out, eh? You know, come on, you've got faith. You can get through this. You know I'm with you. We're going to get through this together. I just think it's amazing. Every time I'm going to share a message, the week leading up to it, it's always a challenging week. Again, you got a target on your back because the devil doesn't want us to be proclaiming the word of God. So he's going to go after you. And he goes after me in different ways he probably will to you. But this week, like, honestly, it felt like all my three key areas got hit this week. And it's just like, it was actually really interesting. It's kind of like an out-of-body experience being like, oh, I can see what you're doing, devil, you know. Still wasn't nice, but I could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to disrupt. He was trying to disengage. He was trying to distract and distort me away from the things of God and say, no, 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 you get distracted by this stuff. So you can't focus on what God wants to do. So that's when I kind of know maybe this is a good word. Maybe it's a God word. And honestly, Brent and Hannah, when you guys, don't know where Hannah is, somewhere around there, when you guys were sharing your stories, I was like, far out. Here's people who are walking the faith. Here's people who've walked the faith journey, and you're walking the faith journey, you know? And I love it. You get up there and you're sharing your testimonies and sharing about what God has done and sharing about how you didn't ask for the difficulty. You didn't ask for the challenges. But you met Jesus and you're walking into a better future. And I just think, praise God. And you know, if we go around this room, we could probably all relate in some ways to a journey like that. If you haven't had one, sorry, but it's probably going to happen. You know, what's really interesting about Jesus is that Jesus can empathize with us with what we're going through. In the book of John, chapter 11, it tells the story of Lazarus. Now, I'm not going to read it for lack of time. It's a really quite a long story, long passage. But ultimately what happens is Jesus' friend Lazarus gets sick. His sisters send for Jesus and they say, Jesus, can you come? Because Lazarus is sick. He's not doing really well. And Jesus says, we're going to stay here for a few more days. And they stay for a few more days. And in that time, Lazarus dies. And then they get there and they arrive there. And they kind of, you know, there's a bit of emotion, there's sadness, there's disappointment, there's all these things going on. And Jesus kind of walks into the room and they say, Jesus, if you had been here, that Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus proclaims, this will not end in death. And we love that statement. But again, in that moment, there was emotion going on. And you know what? One of the coolest verses in the Bible happens in John chapter 11 where it says Jesus wept. And you know what that tells me? It says that Jesus can walk through your emotion with you. He feels the emotion. He actually felt the emotion of that environment, and he wept. I love that about Jesus, that he can empathize with me and what I'm going through. Two things strike me about Jesus in the book of, in that passage in chapter 11 of John. First thing is that Jesus can empathize with our emotions. Secondly, he's got his own timetable. So you've got your plans and you've got your way of when God needs to come through. And then God's like, I'm going to do it my way. And his way may be Lazarus dies. Okay, I'll raise him from the dead. Now that's challenging. That is incredibly challenging. Now I'm not saying by any means that we should live our lives like that, thinking in our minds, oh, we'll wait for it to die and just get everything resurrected. But what the point that Jesus was trying to get across to those people was, he's not limited or bound by time. He's not bound by our timelines. In fact, Jesus will take as long as it takes to get you to where your faith needs to be. That's really disappointing, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, let's be honest. That's like really frustrating, actually, because that means that I'm actually, those things that I get frustrated with and I keep stumbling on and I keep getting challenged by, Jesus is like, okay, you're not there yet. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Because he wants my faith to get to the point, that level, that place where he can then take it to another level. Now, you may be sitting here and thinking, oh, yeah, I've been through some challenging times. I've been through some difficulties, won some victories, won some battles. And you're like, yeah, but they keep coming against me. Well, no, they're not coming against you. You're getting new opportunities to grow your faith. And as long as you're breathing on planet Earth, you will have opportunities to grow your faith. That won't go away. So this man, He had to take steps from Cana to Capernaum. Every single one of those steps was a step of faith. Every step he took was a faith step. I can imagine that in the spiritual realm, there was like muscle growing on this guy because faith was growing inside of him. He stepped step after step after step, trusting and believing that something was going to change. I want to ask you tonight, what steps do you need to take? It's a very personal question, and you don't need to respond, but that's a question that I encourage you to ask yourself. What is the step of faith that I need to take? What faith steps have you given up on that hope is calling you to take again? Because the thing is that sometimes we stop walking and we give up, but Jesus doesn't. Sometimes we get weary and we get overwhelmed, but Jesus doesn't. And the thing I've discovered about God is that I can reach my lowest point and come to Him and encounter His refreshing Spirit, and He encourages me, lifts me back up again. You know what He does? Takes me back to that place. He says, here's the faith walk, let's keep walking. What's the next step? What's the next step, Morgan? What's the next step for you to take? Jesus is looking for faith. He is also willing to lead us through difficult times to build our faith. Faith is a journey we never stop taking. If you have a faith journey you are heading into or are in, this is good news, because God sees you are ready to step up to a new level of faith. It's an opportunity. How cool is that? So this man, he had two journeys that he walked. He walked one out of hope. Hope got him to Jesus. Then his second journey was faith. Faith got him home. Hope got him to Jesus. Faith got him home. Hope got him to Jesus. Faith got him home. And it says that as he was walking home, we know that his walk got interrupted because a servant met him while he was still walking. And he said to him, Master, your son's alive. He's healed. The fever is broken. And this man, his first response, I can imagine, would have been joy. But then he asks the man, he asks the servant, he says, when did it happen? And he said, yesterday about the 11th, I think it was about the first hour, 11th hour. Just got to find it out. Yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him. And the man instantly knew that was the moment. So he got his miracle a day ago, but he had to walk in faith for a whole nother day. You may have a miracle, but you've still got a day's journey ahead. You may have a breakthrough, but you've still got some walking to do. Now, you may be sitting there today and thinking, oh, he's talking about other people. He's talking about people mature in their faith. Can I tell you, I was a young Christian. I would have been about 15, 16 years old when God really impacted my life. And I can remember getting involved in my church. My youth pastor, Steve Jaffers, who Alan and Eleanor will know, he stirred us up. We were going to prayer meetings. I can remember at like 17, we had a 6 a.m. prayer meeting. And there was a group of 6 of us young guys. For like 2 years, we'd be at that prayer meeting every week. And I don't often think about those times, but every now and again, God reminds me that was a time where you were taking steps of faith to build you to where you are today. I was 16 years old. So it's all good to think, oh yeah, when I get to my 20s, when I get to my 30s, no, God's looking today. You know, what's interesting is when Jesus went to pick his disciples, he didn't look for old guys, he looked for young people. Because he knew that if he gets some young people, he'll change the world. Because he knows that they'll have some faith that is so bold and so audacious that they might actually believe what he says. Young people, God is wanting to move in and through your lives. So this man, the last part of his journey was a walk of celebration, a walk of gratitude, a walk of joy, a walk of victory. The bottom part of the scripture, again, one half a line, it says, so he and his whole household believed. A whole generation, a whole future of a family was changed because one man got enough hope to make a journey. because you got enough hope to get up and get walking. Never underestimate the journey you're on, because you do not know the people that are behind you that are going to follow you because of the journey you're making today. They're going to walk in your footsteps because of the steps you're taking today. Now, you may not feel like it. You may be looking around and you're like, man, but I feel so alone in this. I feel like, where is everyone else in this? I don't feel very inspired in this journey. But what you can't see is what God sees in your future. You can't see the road ahead of you. You can't see the miracles that line the road that you're going to walk. But He can. Hebrews 8, verse 28 says, and we know that in all things, God works together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. This whole message was centered around one man's journey to find healing for his son. The royal official did all that he did for his son, not himself. Here's the final thought tonight. I believe that Jesus wants you and I to be like this royal official and to go to whatever lengths we need to for those in our lives that need Jesus. See, the thing is that this royal official didn't need a miracle, his son did. But it was the faith of the royal official that got the son a healing. So your faith journey is going to impact other people. It will take hope, and yeah, it might cost you something. And yep, you're going to need to humble yourself, and it will require steps of faith from you, but the payoff is unbelievable. Changed lives, healings, miracles, breakthroughs because of what we do today, because of the steps that we take today. Now, I know as this message has gone along, what I'm imagining and what I feel the Holy Spirit was telling me is in preparing this message is that different people are going to relate to different parts, different journeys. Some of you here today, you're going to relate to the hope journey. Some of you are going to be reminded to grab that hope again. Some of you are going to be actually stirred by the Spirit of God to say, hey, it's time to hope again. You gave up on that thing and God's like, but I didn't. You stopped believing, but I haven't stopped. Now, this isn't to condemn you, this is to encourage you. See, if I know anything about my Jesus, is that His grace is limitless. It's so big, you can't fathom it. And there He is with wide open arms saying, hey, let's go again. Let's believe again. For some of us here today, you had the hope and you've been holding in the hope, but it's time now to have faith. It's time to switch from, yeah, I hope something will happen, to, God, I'm believing Your word. I'm going to believe what You say and I'm going to walk in that. Some of us here today, you're walking in that faith journey, and I want to encourage you in that to keep going. Keep moving. Keep taking those steps. Don't give up. Don't back down. Don't have a break. Keep moving. Because there's miracles. There are breakthroughs just around the corner. Let's keep chasing after those things. I wonder if you join with me tonight and just close your eyes. Just so we can just block out everything that's going on around us. We've got the Holy Spirit keys playing by Sam. But just every eye closed. God's trying to call someone. Must be. It's in the old call. Holy Spirit, we need You. Father God, I pray for every person here tonight, Lord, myself included. Father God, we want to be people who get to the miracle. We want to get to the breakthrough. Lord, we want to get to the promise. Father, we don't want to be people who just talk about, oh, what if? Or maybe one day. God, we want to get there. And so, Father, Lord, I pray for strength, for courage, for boldness over Your people. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'd help us to keep moving forward. I pray that You'd give us the strength to keep going. I pray that You'd give us hope where maybe hope has faded. I pray You'd give us faith again to get up. Holy Spirit, we need You, Jesus. Father God, I know that it's more than just us, God. Our city needs You. Our families, our workplaces, there is so much more to this than just us. So God, I pray, Father, for every person here tonight, that God, that they would know, Holy Spirit, just how great the plans and purposes You have for them are. that they would know, Lord, that you are there beside them. You are walking with them, Father God. Jesus, we give you glory tonight. We praise your holy name. We're going to sing a song in a moment. The worship team's going to lead us into an awesome worship song. And as we do, I want to encourage you to just take a moment. Take some time right now, because when you leave this place, we leave with good intentions. But let's take the moment tonight. Let's take the moment right now to just block everything out and focus in on Jesus. Because maybe, just maybe, God has a word for you that he wants you to walk into. Maybe tonight God wants to birth something in your spirit that's going to propel you into a new season. Maybe there's a hope that God wants to birth in your spirit where you've given up on things. God wants to bring hope. He wants to bring hope. He really does. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand to our feet? The team's going to lead us in this worship song. And I just want to encourage you, just keep your gaze, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus just for a few more moments. Just allow the Holy Spirit to come. Allow him to speak into your heart. And I want to offer, if there are people here tonight too, and you're kind of in a place where you feel a bit like, man, I feel like I need someone to stand with me. I feel like I need someone to pray with me in this journey or in what I'm facing. This altar is open. The space up the front here is open for you to come forward, and we've got people that would want to join with you, who want to pray with you, want to believe with you. They want to support you, they want to encourage you, but more than anything, we want to stand together and go before Jesus and say, Lord, help us in this faith journey, God. Father, we give you glory. Thank you, Lord.